Good morning. Welcome to God's house today as you and I continue to grow as God's church, continue to rejoice in how we get to grow through this precious word and sacrament that our Lord and our God gives to us this morning. As the church grows today, you and I rejoice that we are growing in our spiritual wealth, looking for those things that are truly and eternally valuable for us. As we worship our Lord and our God, we will use the modified service of word and sacrament that is printed in your worship folder for you. We do have the opportunity to rejoice in the Lord's Supper this morning. Since attendance at the Lord's table is also a confession of our unity in faith, we do ask that if you are not a member of a Wells congregation or one affiliated with us, we ask that you'd please not come forward until you have chance to study what we teach and are comfortable making that confession along with us. Thank you for your understanding and thank you for your respect for God and for His Word. We also welcome anybody who may be visiting with us this morning. You'll notice in your pews that there are a couple of little connection cards on either end. We feel free to take one of those, drop it in the plate as you leave, or sign our guest register as you go. We're glad that you are with us today and we pray that God will bless you through His Word. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. God invites us to come into His presence and worship Him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask Him to forgive us. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. For all that we need in life, and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord. For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ. For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord. Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care. O Lord, your ears are always open to the prayers of your humble servants who come to you in Jesus' name. Teach us always to ask according to your will, that we may never fail to obtain the promises, the blessings you have promised. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. We turn our attention to the Word of our God for this Sunday as you and I rejoice that the Christian is the one who is seeking eternal, spiritual wealth. Not just the things of this life or the things of this world, but the things that are truly valuable and the things that are truly eternal. We see that in our first lesson, as we read from 1 Kings chapter 3, the Lord comes to Solomon, basically gives him a blank wisdom so that he could carry out God's will and be the kind of king that the Lord wanted him to be. 1 Kings chapter 3. The Lord appeared to Solomon in Gibeon in a dream at night. God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy and faithfulness to your servant, my father David, just as he walked before you in truth, righteousness, and uprightness of heart towards you. You have shown this great mercy and faithfulness to him, and have given him a son who is seated on his throne to this very day. O Lord my God, now you have made your servant king
in the place of my father David. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And I, your servant, am among your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, who cannot be counted or numbered, because they are so many. Now give to your servant a perceptive heart to judge your people, to distinguish between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? In the eyes of the Lord, Solomon's request was good. So God said to him, because you have asked for this, and you have not asked for a long life, nor have you asked for riches, nor have you asked for the lives of your enemies, but you have asked for discernment to reach just verdicts. Therefore I will act according to your words. Yes, I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you before you, nor will anyone like you rise up after you. This is the word of our Lord. Psalm 119b is printed for you in your worship folder. The verses will be sung. You are invited to join in the refrains, and the glory be to the Father.
Lord, you have the words of everlasting life. Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees, then I will keep them to the end. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Lord, you have the words of everlasting life. Fulfill your promise to your servant, so that you may be feared.
How I long for your precepts, preserve my life in your righteousness.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord, you have the words of everlasting life.
Our second lesson takes us to Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30. As the Christian seeks that spiritual wealth, you and I rejoice in these amazing, valuable gifts: forgiveness, justification, or even stand glorified already in God's sight. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, for those who are called according to His purpose. Because those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. This is the word of our Lord. Alleluia. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel is recorded for us in Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 44. As the Christian seeks that spiritual wealth, Jesus focuses our attention on the truly valuable,
the things that are of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid again. In his joy he goes away and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. When he found one very valuable pearl, he went out and sold all he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When the net was filled, they pulled it onto the shore. They sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but threw the bad ones away. That is how it will be at the end of the world. The angels will go out and separate the wicked from the righteous who are among them, and they will throw the wicked into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said to them, "Did you understand all these things?" They answered him, "Yes." He said to them, "Therefore, every expert in the law who has been trained as a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his treasure both new things and old things." This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours. Those amazing spiritual gifts that are more valuable than anything else, to rejoice in God's grace, to know that you are showered with His mercy, and therefore you stand in His peace. As you and I focus our attention once again on these parables of Matthew chapter 13, we go back 2 weeks and we are reminded of where we are. 2 weeks ago, as we began this chapter, we gathered with the crowd of people and were standing along the side of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is there in the boat, just a little bit off of shore, and it's story time. We like stories. Many of you know that I just got done traveling down to Florida and back. On the way down there, Sue and I read each other a book. It was a story. It was nice. Distracted you for a little bit as you were just driving and you hear the hum of the tires and not much scenery going on. Something to distract you, something to take you away, something that kind of allow you to leave life behind, at least for a moment. Depending upon what kind of stories you like, perhaps you like getting caught up in the details of the action, or perhaps you like trying to see if you can figure out the mystery before the hero of the story does. We like stories. Matthew chapter 13 is filled with stories. We call them parables. You remember the definition, the earthly story with the heavenly meaning. Jesus takes two things and sets them side by side, something that you already understand and know, and uses that to explain some heavenly truth that He wants us to understand. He's telling us stories not just to entertain us, not just to allow us to leave the world behind for a moment, but so that we can learn about His grace and His love. And so we've listened to His parables. 2 weeks ago, you and I watched that sower throw that seed out, and we marveled as God made it grow. Last week, we focused our attention on the weed and the wheats. Our gospel lesson for this morning, which we read moments ago, really is three, possibly even four, little parables as Jesus is wrapping up story time, as He brings this chapter to a close. All revolving around what the kingdom of heaven is all about. There is nothing more valuable. You think about the man who found the treasure in the field. He wasn't looking for it. Who knows what he was looking for or what he was doing, but all of a sudden there it is, the kingdom of heaven, something that often you and I are not even looking for. Suddenly our Lord and our God places it right there in front of us through His gospel, and He allows us to find it. Something that is more valuable than anything this world could offer. The kingdom of heaven is like that pearl. There are times when you and I are running around. We're busy looking for valuable things. We attach value here. We put value there. We think this is valuable. Then all of a sudden we find something better. And while we're running around looking for what we think is valuable, God places that amazing, most valuable gift of the forgiveness of sins right there before us. The kingdom of heaven is God's word at work. The kingdom of heaven is you and me belonging to our Lord and to our Savior. And so this morning we want to focus our attention mainly on this third parable that he tells us, verses 47 through 50. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When the net was filled, they pulled it onto the shore. They sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but threw the bad ones away. That is how it will be at the end of the world. The angels will go out and separate the wicked from the righteous who are among them, and they will throw the wicked into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus starts with a very familiar picture. Remember where we are. We're standing along the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is sitting there in a fishing boat. Perhaps this dragnet that he's talking about is right there in the boat with him. The dragnet was a special net. It wasn't the one on the pole that you and I used to scoop the fish out when we try to get it off the line. The dragnet was the long one. It had floats across the top, weights across the bottom. As you throw that into the sea, those weights pull that net down, stretch it out. You stretch it out between those two boats, and as you now head your way toward shore, that net catches everything in its path as it surrounds everything and catches everything and pulls it up onto the shore. Effective. Efficient. But you may not want everything that has been caught up in that net. And so Jesus uses that familiar picture of the fishermen. Now that they have dragged that net through and they've caught everything in its path, now it's time to sit down, and they start picking out the good and they pick out the bad. Keep the good off to the side in their containers to save for later. The bad ones they throw away. Easy picture. Very understandable. This is how it will be at the end of the world. You remember last week that we had the parable of the weeds and the wheat. Last week you and I were reminded that believer and unbeliever alike are going to be living in this world until the end of time. We were reminded that simply because faith is something that is inside the heart, you and I might not necessarily be able to tell the difference right away. Jesus in this parable, the parable of the net, is giving us a similar but related picture. Not only are believer and unbelievers living together in this world, but sadly believer and unbeliever are also together in the church. He narrows it down to that net and reminds us that sometimes there are going to be those who actually don't believe, but who are caught up as the gospel is busy catching everything and catching all kinds of people, that there are those who are going to be part of this gathering, sadly, may not have faith. You know the word. We call them hypocrites, pretenders, those who are going through the motions, those who are putting on the show, those who have the face of being part of this gathering, those who are here hearing the gospel, but for whatever reason, there is no faith there. Just simply going through the motions, putting on the show without actually believing what they're hearing. Why are they here? That we don't know. And just as it wasn't our job last week to start running through the world and trying to pick out who the weeds were and start uprooting them, so God says it's not our job to start working our way through the membership roles of the church and trying to figure out who the real Christians are and who the pretenders are and start to pull them out. Nor perhaps as you and I think about how the gospel catches all kinds, maybe the question that we should be asking is not, I wonder who the pretender is. Maybe we should be asking, why am I here? Why am I gathering? Why am I part of this group that has been brought together? Am I here simply out of habit? Because that's just what I do. Am I here mechanically going through the motions, not really paying a whole lot of attention to what is being done, not really paying attention to what is being said, but just kind of doing it without much thought? Am I here because it looks good? I want to save face within the community. I want others to know that I am a good and respectable person. I want others to like and trust me. And so I'm going to use this as an opportunity to show people how good I am. Am I here simply to keep Grandma off my back? Otherwise, she's going to be hounding me to come to church. So I'm just going to show up. I have an idea that all of those examples are somewhat generic. They're probably examples that you've heard before, maybe used before. But they do remind us that as you and I gather, as you and I think about how the gospel gathers all kinds of people together, there is that reminder that you and I still sometimes like to turn this gathering into something that's all about me. I want to be comforted. I want some sense of community. I want somebody there to uphold me and to guide me and to lift me up when things are difficult. All those things can happen here. Those aren't even necessarily bad things to have happen. And I suppose in a sense we could even say that coming here to worship is all about me. It's all about how my Lord Jesus loved me. It's all about how my Lord Jesus was willing to be my perfection and pay my debt of sin so that I can be with Him in the glories of heaven. But when I'm reminded that for Jesus, it's all about me, for me, it's all about Him. And it's all about those that He's placed around me to serve and love and care for. We search for those spiritual gifts of wealth, and you and I rejoice that the gospel gathers all kinds. And as that gospel spreads its net, and as people are brought in and we gather here together, you and I wish to rejoice. Why are we here? And we rejoice in that amazing gift that God gives to us of the forgiveness of sins. Don't forget why we gather. So now being gathered, understanding that you've got this mixture of all kinds that are there, sadly including those who are just going through the motions for whatever reason, now it's time to sort. That is how it will be at the end of the world. The angels will go out and separate the wicked from the righteous who are among them, and they will throw the wicked into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Again, for those who are sitting along the Sea of Galilee, they can probably perhaps even picture. They might even be looking over at a spot along the shoreline where it might have even have been happening. You can see the fishermen sitting there and they begin to pull them out back and forth. You've got the wicked. You've got the bad fish. The fish that are perhaps decaying already. The fish that are not worth anything. The fish that are not going to help them make a living. Those are the ones that they throw away. For the angels, that is the wicked. No faith, just facade. It might look all right, but there's no faith there. The lack of faith may have fooled others, but it cannot fool their Lord. Pulling them out from among the righteous. You also notice as Jesus describes the end of time that the wicked aren't becoming wicked. They don't become wicked at the time. That's just what they are, and God knows it. The righteous aren't becoming righteous. They don't suddenly become righteous at the end. It's just what they are. And God knows it. All because of God's grace. Wherever the gospel is proclaimed, the righteous will be there. It's interesting that as Jesus focuses the sorting more on the wicked, He just assumes there's going to be the righteous. They're there. You and I are living in a world where perhaps it might appear to you and to me that the hypocrites are going away. They're not pretending anymore. People are less and less likely to go through the motions. They're just being outright, blatantly wicked. They're not trying to hide their unbelief anymore. They are just out there attacking God and attacking His will and attacking His ways. And so you see a world that is running as far away from God as possible. Proclaiming all the things that the Word says to be bad, to be good. Proclaiming all the things that the Word says to be good, to be bad. Convincing us that you can do whatever it is that you wish to do. You and I marvel at the number of churches that are rewriting God's Word, setting the gospel aside and turning it into nothing more than perhaps a self-help group. Or perhaps just an opportunity to help each other do whatever it is that we feel like doing rather than hear what the Word has to say. A lot of struggles right now. A lot of things that are vying for our attention and trying to distract us. We may at times feel a lot like Elijah, and we think that there are no righteous people left. And yet when the end comes, there will be righteous. God's people will be there. Because you learned that 2 weeks ago as well. Isaiah told us His Word is not going to return empty. It's going to do its work. And when that gospel is proclaimed, when that good news of who Jesus is and what He has done has been announced, there will be faith. As you and I gather and rejoice in the fact that Jesus is none other than the Son of God, who stepped into this world, born of the Virgin Mary, when we marvel out how He is the one who lived perfectly and then suffered and died and was buried, we marvel at His resurrection, the guarantee that it is indeed finished. Perfection has now been given. What God is looking for and demanding from this world, He found in your substitute. And the payment that you owe, already paid in Christ. We marvel at baptism that adopts us into the family. We rejoice in the supper, the very body and blood that gives us forgiveness. And as that gospel is proclaimed, it puts that faith. It gives you and me what it asks us. It wants us to believe, and it gives us the faith so that we can believe. There are going to be righteous when that end comes. And I'll make it personal. Every one of us here can say, I am righteous. I'm righteous. Not because of who I am. We just got done confessing that I am by nature sinful. I am anything but righteous. And all my thoughts, words, and actions just simply prove that I do what I am. No, I am righteous not because of what I'm doing or thinking or saying. I am righteous because of what Jesus did and said and thought. I am righteous because that's what Jesus says I am. He pronounces you to be His righteous, dear child, forgiven, washed clean. You and I belong to Him. That's the spiritual wealth we want, and we rejoice to be gathered up by that gospel. You heard it in the second lesson, that amazing chain of events that begins with what God knows, and then He tells you about it, and He gives you all these amazing blessings. Look at what He does. Those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. God knows you. Long before this world was made, and long before you came into this world, God knew who you were. And God claimed you as His very own. He set you aside to be His own special possession. And then He tells you about it as He uses the gospel of Jesus Christ to call you to faith. And through that amazing gift of faith, you stand justified. You are innocent. You are no longer guilty of sin. Heaven is your home. You are glorified. Not will be. God thinks you are already. I am righteous because of God's amazing grace. And now we look forward to what happens. We look forward to the end of time having that true spiritual wealth. The gospel gathers all kinds of different backgrounds, all kinds of different education levels, all kinds of different places where we live. The gospel is out there and is busy gathering people from every nation, tribe, language, and people. Gathering us together so that you and I can rejoice in the fact that when that last day comes, all the wicked are going to be separated out from the righteous. Jesus describes what happens to the wicked. Not a lot, just enough so that you and I know that hell is not where we want to be. The bad are thrown away. What do you throw away? You throw away something you don't want. You throw away something that is rotting, is decaying. You throw away something that perhaps is offensive to you. You throw away something that is of no benefit to you. Those who are pretending to have faith, but it's just facade, have no value and are thrown away. And while they're in that fiery furnace of hell, they may wish that they would just be incinerated and consumed, and yet those wicked continue to exist under the judgment of the Holy God, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, a phrase that is often used for those who were in, remember, the kingdom of heaven, like the net. They were in at one time. They were hearing the gospel. They were part of the gathering. But in unbelief rejected it, and now they understand what they had, but lost. The other option is never mentioned. Jesus never says what's going to happen to the righteous. We know what's going to happen. The closest we get is in the parable itself. The fish, good fish are put into containers. Is heaven a container? I don't know if we necessarily think of heaven as a place to be kept, but think about that for a moment. Your God wants you. He wants to save you. He wants to keep you. And so He is going to put you in a safe place. Already now He has you in the safety of His arms and in His grace through His gospel. And there will be that time when He takes us and He puts us in safekeeping, when He brings us to the glories of heaven. The gospel gathers all kinds. That's the wealth that we're looking for. We may still be distracted by the wealth of this world, but some of the things that are going on right now, I think, are able to allow us to stand back and take a break a little bit and remind ourselves that this world is not all that we want. Things are happening here that we're not all that thrilled about. Contentment, having all the wealth of this world, none of that is going to last. And even if we have it, we may not always be able to enjoy it or use it. We rejoice in those blessings. We are thankful for those blessings. We're thankful that God is able to give them to us. But the big main blessing that the Christian seeks is that spiritual wealth, the kingdom of heaven, more valuable than anything else. Rejoice that you already are counted righteous in God's sight. And rejoice that when those angels come, and they sit down, and they begin to separate the wicked from the righteous, you know where you're going to be. And then you go home. Amen. That peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Having heard the word of our Lord, we now rejoice to confess that faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day He rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Christian, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Lord of our lives, by sending Your Son to live and die as our perfect substitute, You provided forgiveness and salvation for a world of sinners. We praise You for Your generous, saving love. We thank You for reaching out to each of us personally with Your word and the water of baptism. You have set us apart as people who belong to You, people whose purpose in life is to receive Your love and live to Your glory. Gracious Father, Remind us that you have called us to live for you, and not for ourselves or according to the standards of the world. Help us devote our time, our talents, our energy, and whatever you have placed into our hands to those things that will be of value for eternity. Help us to love you and others, and to use things as you desire, instead of loving things and trying to use you and others for our own selfish desires. May our hearts belong to you completely, so that our lives can be devoted to things that really matter. Bless all who are suffering or who are in need. Be with the lonely and the grief-stricken. Move us to use the unique gifts you have given each of us to bring comfort and help to those who need it. Bless the government and the church, and make us blessings to both. Lord of life, we marvel again at the wonderful way in which you bring children into the world. Accept our thanks for holding your protecting hand over Katie Weber, who gave birth to Aubrey Grace Weber last Sunday. We thank you for watching over mother and child, and for bringing joy to Katie and Jeremy with the gift of their daughter. Bless this child. Receive her into your family through the sacrament of baptism, and protect her from every danger of body and soul. Give her parents the love, wisdom, and means to care for this child that you have entrusted to them. We praise you and thank you for being with this family. Crush the selfishness that comes to us naturally, and fill us with joyful generosity. Grant that the gifts that we bring to you may show that we are just as diligent and just as interested in carrying out your business as we are in carrying out our own. We dare to do all of this, dear Father, not because we deserve to ask it, but because your Son has earned for us the right to approach you as your dear children. And so it is in his name that we now join to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In love He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He sends the Holy Spirit to testify that we are His children and to strengthen us when we are weak. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ. To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and thanks and honor and glory forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, He took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to them, and said, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you his peace. Once again, welcome to all of you. Thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you for joining us at home as you and I gather and rejoice in our Lord and our Savior and the amazing, valuable gift of heaven guaranteed because of who Jesus is and what he has done. Just a couple of things in your update to highlight for you. A reminder again, the Ice Cream Social over at St. John's and Berry Mills. The information is for you there. Starts at noon today. A little different than in past years, a little more subdued, a little bit more key. They didn't advertise it quite as widely, but I do have permission to invite you, and that's why it's here. So you're welcome to join them for that. Reminder, we have our last of our summer picnics coming up on Wednesday. We'll be back out at Vets Park, shelter number 2, 5:30. Bring your picnic lunch along with you, and we'll rejoice and spend some time together there as well. Everything else is there. Reminder to our school board, we're meeting tomorrow night. Elders, we are meeting tomorrow night. The plan is at 7:30, both groups are going to be having the devotion together, and then we'll split out and take care of our business. So keep those things in mind as well. Feel free to wave at those who worshiped with you this day. God's blessings as you live for your Lord and your Savior. Rejoice in the gift of heaven.